Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. It's a gale watch here in Michigan, Tim. You know what that means? Windy. Windy, windy, windy. How are you? How was your weekend? How was your night, Tim? How are you doing?
Weekend was good. The weekend was good. Yeah, I don't even remember what I did.
Oh, no, not one of those weekends again.
No, more just like I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning either. How was yours? Are you feeling better?
A little bit. As you can tell, my voice isn't super soothing like Barry White, like it's been for the last week and a half, it seems like. But I'm finally getting over that little bug I got. I don't know. But yeah, I had a funny night last night. Obviously, Palm Sunday, very exciting. Went to church, did that whole thing. And then I get home, we're getting ready for bed. The gale warning started last night. I don't know if you've ever owned a wood stove, Tim. Have you?
No.
So if the wind hits the chimney just right, it creates a backdraft because the wind goes down the chimney into the wood stove, smokes out the fire, and smoke billows into the house. So I put the kids to bed. I was just, getting ready to spend some QT with the wife, and all of a sudden I smell smoke. Go downstairs. Every time there's a gust of wind, you see like a big cloud of smoke coming out of the wood stove. And I just stoked it full of wood for the night. Like I hammer it full of wood. And what do we do? How do you rectify this situation? You just let it go, let it play out, and you just get a billow of smoke, Tim, every 3 minutes? What would you do in that situation? Because this fire is going to last, Tim, for 7 hours, 8 hours. And so this is 8 straight hours of just like smoke in the house, smoke in the house, smoke in the house. What would you do in that situation?
Got to set up a bunch of fans aimed at the entrance so it just blows the smoke back up the pipe. I think the science would back that up.
I tried to open up the ash tray because then you super heat it, oxygenate it, and it comes from underneath. It's like when you put an air leaf blower on a fire, like just boom, super heats it. But the wind was too strong. So my thinking was, I'm going to take every single log out of that wood stove and put it outside in my fire pit. So I didn't have any good way of transporting it. Luckily, I had another piece of wood that kind of forked in my wood pile. And so I grabbed that and I used that piece of wood like tongs. And so I would open up the door, grab a piece of wood, super hot, because I just tried to superheat it, right? And try to see if I could overcome the wind. Close the wood door. This thing starts smoking like crazy in my house. Open up the sliding door, which you and I put in. Go outside into the gale force winds. As soon as you put that log outside, it just starts sparking and going nuts. And I'm like getting sparks in my face, Tim. I'm running in the snow, put it in the fire pit, sprint back to the house because I have to clean up all the debris on the floor from the walk from the wood stove to the sliding door, which is only like 10 feet, but still, it's substantial. And I have to repeat this about 8 times. And I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Well, plus your house is at the very tip of a hill that's just surrounded with like steep drop-offs in almost all directions. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a lot of wind up there even more.
Yeah. And the wind goes right up the hill into my chimney, right into my house. It's a lot of fun. It happens about twice a year. This wind gale force stuff happens. And I shake my head. I just don't do what I can. And then I just move along. And so we didn't have a fire last night. We turned the heat pumps on, but fire alarm was going. It was like 10:30. Everybody was having a good time. It was just awful. So I did that for a good 20 minutes, just transporting logs, trying not to burn my house down, trying not to get hit in the eyes with red hot embers. Because as soon as you step outside, like the wind, because I don't know if you realize how dangerous it was. Crazy, crazy stuff. But anyways, moving on, Tim. Was anything that exciting for you this weekend, or was just you still don't remember anything?
What did I do? Honestly, don't remember.
Wow. Riveting stuff.
No, I've been rewatching. Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying, how do you not know what last time I talked, Friday, did you go on a date with your girlfriend?
Oh, you know what? You know what I did? Friday was Levi's Gotcha Day. So I took him.
Oh, that's right.
Friday was all about him. And I took him to the pet store and we picked out like they had like a little mini dog bakery there. Mm. And you're going to hate this, but they had like a little cute treats, like a cookie, a bone shaped cookie that was like happy birthday or happy gotcha day and different things. So I got him a gotcha day cookie and I gave him, I got a little party hat. I gave it to him and he was loving it. So we had like a little celebration for him. That was really nice.
That's nice.
I posted the picture, got a lot of nice feedback on
it. See a nice kisser? Well, let's just save that for the Patreon. before we get into it, everybody, this episode is brought to you by Bet99. Bet99. Very sloppy. Voted number one online. I bet you wouldn't bet on that. Online gaming experience in Canada with same game day parlays, player props, flash bet markets. Elevate your experience, everybody, at Bet99. Friday. Telling you, if you people in Ontario would listen to us, rolling in the dough. Tim told you to pick Jonathan Drouin. What happened? 2 assists Friday night. Sunday night, he had 2 goals, 1 assist, including the game winner. That's free money you're not taking advantage of. And Tim's got another spicy pick for you today. What's your pick today, Tim?
Yeah, and most of these picks, like, I'm not going to go with Kucherov or McDavid or McKinnon because all those guys are safe bets, but the odds aren't really in your favor. You're not going to win a whole lot by betting on those guys. So I'm looking down the roster a little bit, looking for some further down the roster players who are performing very well. Right now, today's pick is Luke Hughes. He has 6 assists in his last 4 games. We spent a lot of time talking about the Devils have been playing a little bit better. They've had some big games where they're scoring a whole bunch of offense. Timo Meier is playing better. Luke Hughes has been a part of it. So if you're looking for some higher upside odds and you don't want to bet on the superstars, Luke Hughes is a pretty good bet. He's racking up a lot of assists right now.
That's nice. All right, Luke Hughes, everybody, heard it here first. Next thing you do, you go to Bet99. You got to be 19 plus to play, and you need to play responsibly. Available to all persons in Ontario only, Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians. All right, I got a swag update. Someone bought our merch, Tim. Very excited. I need to give a shout out to Joseph Witkowski. Very exciting. Friend of the show. So the word is out. Where can we go to get this stuff, Tim? Just so people don't get swindled. Because I think there's a couple websites that are trying to, you know, we make our stuff, but it isn't as good as when you get it from the source. So where do you go?
Well, go to droppingthegloves.com and you can find a link there to Everything Hockey site. Those are our partners. They have a brand. They will handle your orders and shipping and all that stuff. 2 different shirts, 1 hoodie, great multiple sizes, all that, great customer service. Or just find them. And you can find the links on our social channels as well. So go check it out and order yourself a shirt.
We got a website, droppingthegloves.com.
Great.
All right, Tim, you wanted to talk about some Kucherov posts, and I'm a little hesitant to continue with this just because all this really revolves around me not getting points in the NHL, which is always a great topic of conversation on my show. And you want to bring this up on my show. Let's get to it. You're very excited.
You said hesitant. Let's call it what it is. You're nervous. And this is a quick little funny little post. So we talked about on the other day about how Kucherov had 15 points in his last 4 games. And so Bleacher Report had tweeted out or posted on Instagram, like a bunch of like interesting hockey stats. One of them was about how McDavid, if you took away his goals, he would still be top, you know, 3 or 5 or whatever it was in points. Something else about Matthews' scoring pace, things like that. And one of them was the stat about Kucherov having 15 points in the last 4 games. It's like, it sounds almost fake, right? It's a stupid production. And so all the comments there, and it was like about how they had more points than you in your whole career. So all the comments on this Instagram post, and Bleacher Report's a big page, are all about like, what did John Scott ever do to you? Leave him alone. Why is he catching stray bullets over here? All this stuff, like minding knows his own business. And they were all great. But the best comment was someone commented, good stat. Does this finally put an end to the Kucherov / John Scott debate? I read it.
That's funny.
Legit, it's a good comment.
It was a raging debate.
I thought that was funny.
People have been just going back and forth about that for years, you know? I think we can finally put it to bed. That 15 points in 4 games. Nailed it. And you know who else had a good weekend, aside from Nikita Kucherov, who just is having a fantastic season? The debate now becomes him or McKinnon for MVP. Very fun debate to have. And McDavid's right there too, but I think his missed time with injury plays a part in this. And I think people just have McDavid fatigue. You know what I mean? He's so good. He's so incredibly good all the time. I think people just lose track of how good he actually is and expect him to do more. Anyways, Michigan Tech, Tim, had a big weekend. They played in the Mason Cup Finals versus Bemidji State on Friday night, March 22nd. And guess what happened? They won 2-1. They made the national tournament, the Frozen Four. Very exciting. This is their third time in the last 4 years. They're one of 16 teams left. That's great. Very excited about this. Blake Pietola, goaltender, hasn't allowed more than 2 goals in, I think, 10 games. Been playing lights out. Dominant, set the all-time school wins record. Huge. His younger brothers playing fantastic. There's 3 Pietolas on the squad. I played with a Pietola when I played there. What was his name? Phil Pietola. So there's a bunch of Pietolas on the team. It's just a very, it's a big family, apparently. And then one Pietola works in the, it's like one of the gym rats. So they're all around the program. Big Pietola compound up north. But anyways, now we get to the the pairing. They get to face Boston College, who is the juggernaut in college hockey right now. First overall, they have stars up and down the roster, Tim. Will Smith, an incredible rookie, lighting the world on fader. Cutter Gauthier, who did he get drafted by? Cutter.
He was Philadelphia, but he said he wouldn't go there.
Love Cutter Gauthier. And then Gabe Perreault, Ryan Leonard, 4 of the top 7 scorers in all of NCAA are on BC. So Blake Pietola, when we saw him in Grand Rapids at the GLI, he beat Michigan State. I think he had 62 saves. Get ready. You will need to save more than that, Blake, because it is going to be an interesting game. But hey, who knows? That's why they dropped the puck, Tim. You know what I mean? Because if you went off regular season stats, the Bruins would have a banner hanging in the rafters right now, because last year they were the best team in the world of all time. They lost first round to the Florida Panthers in Game 7 because we all know why. We all know why that happened, right? Patrice Bergeron. Selfish little, don't even get me started. I want to be a part of this. Loss. Out of the playoffs. Back to MTU. They can do this. I have faith in my team. Look at my coffee cup. Michigan Tech. Look at all this stuff behind me. Michigan Tech. I love Michigan Tech. Do you think they have any chance? You're Boston guy, Tim. They have any chance versus BC this coming Friday?
I want to say no. BC is just, it's one of the best college hockey teams in years. Like, they're just so dominant top to bottom. I would say, to your point, though, Blake Pietola, Blake's the goalie, right?
Yes, he is.
If there's a goalie that can steal you a game in this tournament, he's got to be on that short list. And so that's what they need from him. And I don't know. We've seen this guy's upset teams before. So he'll need 45, 50 saves at least.
At least.
But yeah, it's going to be a great game. It'll be a great tournament. Congrats to Tech for even getting there too.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Tech is a small little school up north, more known for their academics. Lights out. I got my degree. Left hockey, got a job right away. I got my degree. Anyways, moving on, Tim. Or do you want to talk about BU too? Because BC and BU are just, they're both very good. What's going on in Boston with the college hockey? It's like a resurgence, a renaissance era.
It's not a rent. I mean, they've always been there. They're unbelievable.
Macklin Calabrini, pretty good. We're on overall.
He's
pick.
Pretty good.
He's not bad. 17 years
he
old.
He sees the team though.
Very good. All right, moving on. There was a huge fight in hockey, Tim. I love fighting. You love fighting. Everybody loves fighting. It seems like whenever it happens and it's a good one, everybody talks about it. Well, this one wasn't a Matt Rempe, wasn't a Ryan Reeves, wasn't a Delorier. It wasn't your known commodities. Perfect Hatred, never friend of the show, Liam O'Brien. It wasn't him. It's Mo Sider and Philippe Forsberg, arguably the best players on their respective teams. Mo Sider leads Detroit in time on ice by a wide margin, 3-4 minutes. That guy's out there all the time versus the next closest guy. Philippe Forsberg leads the Nashville Predators in points. Roman Josi right behind him. Their best forward by a wide margin. Gustav Nyquist maybe number 2, but the guys on their teams respectively. Big game for each of them. Both teams fighting for playoffs. Tooth and nail. Nashville on an incredible run. 14-0-2 in their last 16, playing great. Detroit finally getting back to their old selves, getting Dylan Larkin back, starting to get some momentum. Both teams needed to win this game. Lo and behold, these two tie up in the D zone of Detroit, just about near the blue line. And they start going at it. They start shoving. They start sticking. Next thing you know, the gloves are dropped. What would you expect from these two guys getting into a fight? This is Philippe Forsberg's third fight in his career. He fights every 4 years, 2016, 2020, and now 2024. Mo Sider, friend of the show, when he was on a couple years ago, he said, I will never fight. I don't like fighting. I don't want to fight. I squarely asked him. I said, why? You're 6'3". You're strong. You're going to piss people off. You will be forced to fight. Remember what he said, Tim? He's not going to. Simple as that. And up until this point, man of his word, hasn't dropped the gloves once, not once. And he is a marked man out there. He buries people. What did you expect when you saw this come across your ticker at hockeyfights.com? Think it was just going to be a snooze fest?
It seems like a total mismatch, because I think of, like, you know, I think Forsberg is not particularly tall, though he's taller than you think he would be. 6'1". I thought he was, like, you know, 5'10", 5'11". I pictured him an undersized forward. That's my fault for not knowing better. But I picture him small, fast, skilled, highly offense. And Sider is just a mountain on the back end, tall, lean, but strong, and plays mean. So I would have thought, I never would have thought these two guys would fight. And if they did, I would think Sider, just because of his reach, his size, and strength, just being a lot bigger than Forsberg. But it was a closer fight than I think I would have thought.
It was a battle of hair, follicles. Mo Sider, Sideshow Bob, like, incredible hair. His helmet comes off and it's just a mane. Think Scott Hartnell, but more aggressive and just more of it. And then Philippe Forsberg, remember the old strongman? You know, who you tell the best. That's his mustache. Like, it's incredible. These two guys, I tell you what. Yeah, he, like, twisted at the end. In my opinion, Tim, this is the fight of the year so far. I know Rempe had a couple throwdowns. I know Ryan Reeves. I know Tenorti got into a really good one earlier in the year. This had passion. There was purpose. And it was guys just throwing punches. And it was angry. And I really liked that. I thought it was fantastic. And this is why you see something like this. And this is why hockey's so great. You know what I mean? You don't see this in any other sport. This is the two best players on their teams. These teams need these players on the ice. And they just screw it. I hate this guy. He's in my face. I want to win this game as bad as I can. And the only way I can see to do it right now is to put my fist through this guy's face. Isn't that fantastic? It's primal. I love it. It's visceral. It gets my heart pumping. I saw this and I watched it and I watched it and I watched it. Friend of the show, shout out to him, Sam Smalley. Is that the guy's name? He was right on the glass. If you go to hockeyfights.com and you watch the fight, there's a guy with a nice camera filming it. He sent the video straight to Tim. And so Tim and I are watching this fight from a vantage point that no one is seeing. And it's so, so cool. So go to our socials if you haven't seen it, because it's incredible to watch it from ice level. And it's a great camera. Beautiful. So I'm watching this and I'm getting goosebumps. I'm like, these guys. And then Mo Sider switches to his left. It's just going over and under. And Philippe Forsberg doesn't know what to do because he's not good at fighting. And so he's just getting fed his lunch and uppercuts and he doesn't know what to do. Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. This, in my opinion, fight of the year. Fight of the year. I know the damage wasn't insane. The players involved, the time of the season, and just the intensity checked all three boxes. Boom, boom, boom. Unbelievable. I absolutely loved it. Am I overstating this, Tim?
No, and I can't understate enough that, footage. Like, go check it out on our socials. It's like, he must have the newest camera, the newest iPhone or whatever. He's on the glass and you can see, like, it's hard to see from above on the regular, like, broadcast angles, what the fights are like at ice level, because you can see his facial expression. You can see the hair. You can see, like, just a little momentum jazz when you throw a punch, how that throws off your balance and how you push off each other and how your skates are angled and how the fans are all cheering and banging on the glass. It's just like, visceral is a great word for it. It's so good. And Mo, like, you can see every punch. He's just face is scrunched up. Oh, yeah. His hair is flying. It's great. It's great cinematography. It's great TV. So I loved it. I loved it. Shout out to Sam again for getting that footage, sending it our way. And what a fight. I think you're probably right. Yeah.
So I had a coach when I was with San Jose. His nickname was Big Bird when he played, Larry Robinson. This is who Mo Sider plays like. And he's taken a while to come into his own. He He plays like Larry Robinson. I think we might have said that when he first came into the league. I can't remember, but throws big hits. He's really efficient on the offensive end. He's great in the D zone. And this is the aspect he's missing. Larry Robinson, you ask anybody of that era, didn't mess with Larry. He would bury people, and if you dropped the mitts, Larry Robinson would take you behind the woodshed and start the lawnmower on you. The guy was an animal when it came to fighting, and he would stick up for his teammates. If Mo Sider can do this a few times a year, that's it. Two, maybe three. That's all he needs to do. I remember Sheldon Surrey used to be like this too. Sheldon was on the show. I forgot that. He had that reputation where if you step out of line, Sheldon's going to make you pay. And he was a good defenseman. The guy put up 30, 40 goals one year. Beat your doors off, man. He can. And I think Mo Sider, if he sticks with this, if he's smart, pick your spots. You don't want to be fighting like heavyweights. Like Chara would never fight me. He was smart. I would destroy Chara. Sometimes I dream about it. Oh, that guy. But anyways, this is a good thing for Mo. This is good for him. I know they ended up losing the game. Mo won the fight, but yeah, so fun. So fun to talk about.
Yeah, Nashville won the game off of Philippe Forsberg goal, of all things. So just a great game. I wish I was there in Nashville. Just a great, great game. And by the way, I saw this stat on Twitter. Yakov Trenin, he was with Nashville, and Nashville, he was there for the beginning of their streak. So going into the trade deadline, he was 8-0-1. He was part of that stretch of their winning streak. Traded to Colorado. The Avalanche are 7-0 with him in the lineup. So Yakov Trenin hasn't lost a game in regulation since February 15th. It's like 15-0-1. It's just crazy.
Not a bad run.
But good for Nashville. Nashville is just, man, they kind of tie into who we're going to talk about next, but just, I don't care where they are in the standings. They're very good, and they're getting hot at the right time. So we talked about it last week. They have a real chance of upsetting whoever they play. I can't say that enough.
Well, Tim, why don't you do your Tim's take?
Yes. Our Tim's take brought to you by Tim Hortons. With the Roll Up to Win promotion, you can play on the Tim's app to win prizes, including a daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. You're running out of time, though. Download the Tim's app, and the contest goes until March 31st, another week or so. Here's my Tim's take today. This might be understated just because they're in a playoff. They've been in a playoff position for most of the year. But the Philadelphia Flyers, John, they're a good team.
Wow.
You know, yeah. How bold is that? They played the Bruins on Saturday. So it was the first time in a few weeks that I'd sat down and watched the Flyers play. They're just so relentless. Exactly what you've always gotten from a Torch team. And even though they aren't as skilled as Torch's Rangers were, they're just so dogged. They're so relentless on the forecheck. They're relentless on the puck. They're so good. They were up 1-0 late in the second from Konechny. And then the Bruins tied it in the third. And then they score 5 minutes later to get the lead again, the Flyers. And the Bruins tie it. And then they score 2 minutes later to get the lead again. They just were never out of the game. I can't say enough about, of all the teams that underperform, when you look at their roster and they're like, they're so good on paper, why aren't they putting the pieces together? The Flyers are the opposite. They shouldn't be this good, but they are just getting like every ounce of talent every night. And they're just, they're a good team. That's the best way to say it. They're a good team. So they were a lot of fun to watch, and tough loss for the Bruins.
Yeah, they had a tough back-to-back. Philly did with Boston and Florida. They lost the second game of that to Florida. But they are a good team. Well coached. Sean Couturier back in the lineup, obviously playing good, but he's still walking on thin ice there. All right, you know who I wanted to highlight here? I saw this come across my ticker, and I was like, look at that. That's interesting. Zach Hyman. Can you realize this guy has got 50 goals, Tim? 50 goals. Playing for the Edmonton Oilers. They could potentially have this season 350 goal scores if all things go to plan right now. But let me just get your take on Zach Hyman. He scored his 50th last night versus the Ottawa Senators. Is that expected, or what do you think?
Well, expected in the sense that we knew this was coming at some point over the last, couple months. But when they didn't expect this from him when they signed him, first of all, what did he sign for? $5.5 million?
Mm-hmm.
When I think of Zach Hyman, he came up with Toronto, and he was kind of part of the old guard into the new guard. He was there for some of the older players before they had the identity that they have now. And he was such a pesty player, a thorn in the side of the Bruins. Didn't score a ton of goals, but they were big goals. very, very honestly, there are multiple years, all those jokey years we talk about the Leafs losing to the Bruins in the first round. He was one of the guys who always showed up. He was always there. He was on the PK, the power play, everything. And so during this year, and as he's performed so well, I've been reading more about him, and he's getting more media attention. And it's just, his story is really cool because he was never the best player on his team at any level. He's small, not so small like Marty St. Louis that it was chip on his shoulder size, but small enough to get overlooked. It's small enough that he had to work a little bit harder. And so he was just always good enough to stay on the team, keep advancing, keep progressing, but never like on anyone's radar to do what he's doing now. And sometimes things just pay off and everything goes right. That's what's happening for him this year. 50 goals is just an astounding performance, and really cool for him, and huge part of Edmonton's success this year.
Yeah, drafted by Florida in the fifth round, didn't come to terms with them, so stayed his full 4 years at the University of Michigan. And I think that's what kind of sets him apart. He was a mature kid when he came into the pros. He stepped right into the NHL as soon as his season was over. He started the year with the Marlies, finished up with the Maple Leafs, and then he just worked his way up that roster. Started on the fourth line, played 82 games his first full season with the Leafs. But then after that, boom, got a shot playing with the big guys, and then he just ran with it. He went from 4 goals to 10 goals to 15, finished off when he was with Toronto, 21 high, but just really helped supplement Matthews and Marner and did the dirty work that they didn't really want to do night in and night out. So then the big crux came with Zach Hyman. What do we do with this guy? He's not really producing like a first-line guy should, playing alongside Matthews and Marner. Yeah, he had 15 goals. This and that. He had 21 and 71, 21 and 51, a lockout shortened season. He wants some money, but what do? We still have to sign Morgan Riley. We got to get Willie Nylander. Matthews and Marner are going to be up in a couple years. Is he part of our big picture plans for this team? And lo and behold, Kyle Dubas said, no, we can find someone to fill his shoes. We can maybe get a Michael Bunting. He might be able to fill his shoes. And they let him walk. The Edmonton Oilers, Peter Chiarelli at the time, arguably one of the worst GMs of history because of the Boston Bruins debacle and all that that went along with it. He signed him to a $5.5 million deal. At the time, everybody thought, what is he doing here? I don't know if this is a smart move. 7 years, almost $40 million for a guy who's only scored 21 goals in his career. Since he has stepped foot in Edmonton, Tim, 27 goals his first year, 36 his second year, 50 goals this year. Has to be the best UFA signing of all time, right? Has to. $5.5 million for a guy who scores 50 goals and rides shotgun and can keep up with Connor McDavid and is able to enhance his play, not take from it and subtract from it like a lot of players do. Evander Kane couldn't stand there. He couldn't hang with him. The Nuge sometimes does. The only people who really have been able to hang with McDavid, Draisaitl and Hyman. That's it, consistently. So he's in rarefied air when you talk about being able to hang with elite players. And what a stroke of masterful picking who you play with by Zach Hyman. So he's a free agent coming out of Toronto. Gosh, where should I go play? I'm valued. You know, I had a good first 5 years with the Leafs. Where should I go? I'm sure he got a lot of offers. Oh, maybe I'll go play in Chicago. They're rebuilding. That'd be fun. Or maybe I'll go play in Philly. You know, it's a hardworking team. Go play with the Rangers. Oh, McDavid? I can play with McDavid? Yeah, let's do that. So he's only played with Matthews, Marner, McDavid, and the Nuge. How stupid is that? Like, talk about putting yourself in a position to succeed. I was trying to think of other players who have done this, and the only one who came to mind, I'm sure there's more, is Marian Hossa. He started his career, Ilya Kovalchuk, in Atlanta, and he goes from there to Ottawa, gets to play with Yashin, gets to play with Bonk, gets to play with all these guys. And I might be wrong a little bit, so correct me if I'm wrong.
Alfredson. Yeah.
And then he goes to Pittsburgh, Crosby, Malkin. Then he goes to Detroit, Zetterberg, Datsyuk. Then he goes to Chicago, Kane and Taves. Like, the guy's playing with Hall of Famers everywhere he goes. Pretty smart. I did it the wrong
way. Yeah. Ugh. It made me think of, we talked about this before, a friend of the show, Ryan Graves, playing with Makar and then Letang, you know, mm-hmm. So far. He's only played, you know, 7-8 years. But one of my favorite things about Zach Hyman, just one more thing before we move on, is just when you look at, like, the goal chart of where on the ice he scored, something like 40 of them are, like, basically in the crease. And that's another thing. We talk about, like, how he's fought his way up and never being the best player at any point in his career, going back his whole childhood, is, like, taking the hits. You sacrifice your body when you play that much time right there because the defensemen are hacking and whacking and pushing and shoving. Like, I bet if you look at his forearms, it's just bruises. You know what I mean? And just he takes a beating to make a living, but he's willing to do that. That a lot of fewer and fewer guys are willing to do at this point. And so there's a reason that he's sticking around with McDavid is just being able to do those small things and sacrifice in order to score. And we talk about guys who are the best net front presences. You know, Chris Kreider comes to mind, but Zach Hyman is it right now. He's just so, so good. And I just a fantastic player to root for.
Yeah, it's funny. Would you rather have him, Zach Hyman, or Tyler Bertuzzi if you're the Leafs? They make the same.
At their best, both. It's been Hyman.
They make Bertuzzi the same, ever which better. Is bizarre. Yeah. I think you could have done without signing Reeves, Domi, and Bertuzzi, and Hyman could have filled that spot just by himself. He brings energy. He hits. He doesn't fight. I don't think you need to fight. So, and that's me saying that. So I think he could have maybe not Reeves' role, but definitely Domi and Bertuzzi. So one rare miss from Kyle Dubas, who's just an incredible GM. Look what he's doing with Pittsburgh. Unbelievable job in Pittsburgh. All right, moving on, Tim. Let's get to some quick hits.
For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order with DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app and enter promo code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada. Subject to change. Terms may apply. We had another 50-goal scorer over the weekend. Ooh. Sam Reinhart. What a year he's having. Here's the thing. He's still a pending UFA. Has not been extended yet. Makes 6.5 now. I don't want to dump on the player. He's having an incredible year. He's a great player. He's going to get overpaid, right? Like, no matter 50 goals as a UFA, whether it's Panthers or not, he's not going to live up to whatever his next contract is going to be.
It has to be the Panthers. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This guy needs to stay with Florida. For the fact that they don't have any first-rounder this year or next year, they need to keep him in the mix in order to be a good team for the next foreseeable future. You have Barkov locked up. You have Tkachuk locked up. You got Forsling. You got some good defensemen locked up for a long time, Ekblad. So like, if you want to be a good team, he's a part of your core. He's proven he can play with these guys. So. Sam Reiner. Again, you think Buffalo's like, damn, come on, Sam. Like, what are we doing here? Like, everybody leaves Buffalo and their career just takes off again, or they get like resurgence. So Ryan O'Reilly, Sam Reinhart, Taylor Hall was playing well before he went down. So it's just funny. You know, Skinner's playing good in Buffalo.
Give him that. You know those memes that are like the two handshakes agreeing on the same thing? It's like Toronto and Buffalo just letting 50 goal scorers walk. Seriously.
We did it. Yeah, but Sam Reinhart, good for him. He is so important to this team. And I will note, he's been playing well. Across the road there in Tampa Bay, Anthony Duclair has been playing very well with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So this is going to be a fun little matchup. I think these two hopefully will play in the playoffs. That would be a very, very intriguing matchup to see these two guys go at it, because they're playing Gabe Tarasenko. I think Anthony Duclair was not a really talked about acquisition by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Solid Tim. First, talk about just walking into a good situation. He's playing first line with Point and Kucherov. Oof. Can you imagine? I really can't. All right. What else are we talking about?
Nathan MacKinnon, the MVP race, has points in every home game this year. That's 34. And how many points in those home games? 74 points. I think it's 47 goals, 27 assists, or the vice versa. Just amazing. Absolutely There's amazing.
Nothing more to say. The guy's incredible. So there's some good hockey being played. It's very fun to watch. It's stupid Ovechkin. Let's get this over with, because it's becoming criminal now where the fix is in. And I'm not for it.
Yeah. So he scored twice on Sunday. They had a nice home game. They honored Oshie for his 1,000th game. And, you know, the crowd's going nuts. He has two goals. He's now up to 18 goals in his last 24 games, 26 goals total on the year. One of them, so we talked about the crazy assist from Dylan Strome the other day, and how he just waited and waited and waited and made a pass that no one would ever make in a normal situation. We had an even stranger goal this time, John. Did you see that video?
Yeah. Well, no, you sent it to me. So, yeah, you said like he's stealing it from his teammates now. It's just ridiculous. So wasn't it Oshie who was taking the shot? I don't know who was taking the shot. The guy wins the draw, and he's got a clear-cut shot.
Ovi sees a left-handed him. Shot, so yeah.
Ovi sees the guy, and he just puts his stick in front of the guy's stick, so Ovi doesn't even shoot it. The guy pushes Alex's stick, and the puck goes in the net. Unbelievable. Like, talk about Patrice Bergeron level just selfishness. It's just bonkers that this is even a thing. You can't say crap to him. He's 38. He's a captain. He's been there forever. It's like, yeah. But that's the thing. They're winning, so they're going to make the playoffs potentially. So you like, I'm just bitter because he's scoring and I want him to fail so I can look like a genius. That's what it all is about. It's all about me.
They are winning. They're 5-1 in their last six games. And now they're ahead of Detroit for the second wild card spot, which is just amazing. This is a team that doesn't deserve, I wouldn't say doesn't deserve, statistically on paper, they are not even like, they're a bottom third team. You got to give credit to them to give them the wins that they're getting. Ovi obviously finally waking up. You're getting good play from Strome and some of the other guys. And one player we haven't talked very much at all was Charlie Lindgren. He's been so good. Shout out to Jets yesterday. He's just a great goalie. They have a great thing going right now. The last thing is something we didn't talk about last week. It just escaped our agenda. But Tom Wilson, the whack with his stick on, was it Noah Gregor?
Noah Gregor, yeah.
Yeah, one-handed slash to the face. He got an in-person hearing that was done over Zoom for schedule reasons. He got a six-game suspension, and he and the NHLPA are reportedly, from Wyshynski, not filing an appeal. They're going to serve it out. So.
No kidding. You're not filing, you know, what's it called? It was
an
awful.
Appeal. Yeah.
An appeal. You're not filing an appeal. Like, no kidding. This should be 25 games. It's disgusting. Don't you think? He rubs him out on the boards. It's a very just innocent play. He hits him. Gregor is kind of falling. For some reason, Wilson comes through with his stick, his left hand, and he just buries him in the face. There's no reason for him to do this. Absolutely no reason. George Perils, he makes a joke like, this is tougher than when I was a fighter. It's because you do stuff like this. How is this a hockey play? Him, tell me what he's doing with his stick.
One hand and just full wind up to the face. And then he immediately embraces it. It's almost like a big brother when he goes too hard and like hurts his little brother. I used to do that. I have a younger brother. And you immediately like cover up. Like, I didn't do it. I didn't mean it. I didn't do it. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. That's what it looks like. He's like holding Noah Gregor up. I'm glad the league, you know, didn't go less, because that was one of the things. Because Trouba got a $5,000 fine for doing a similar two-handed whack.
No. Trouba's was not similar. This was intentional. Trouba's can potentially be explained, but this was, it was Trouba's versus Boston. Is that what it was?
Yes, but
there. Ooh, cat's out of the bag.
Hold on, Wilson's,
I didn't know I was talking
worse,
to Jack Edwards.
Trouba is not. He's getting
Jack,
a lot
Jack,
of.
Jack, listen.
He's getting a lot of criticism this year. Have you seen
Trouba?
Jack Edwards. No, just because of he's like, his sentences aren't making sense. Like, he's getting test on his brain, and he's like, I can't explain it. I'm fine, but for some reason, I can't talk anymore.
There's only really so much BS you can spew before it just fills up, and you're just full of it, and then you can't put sentences together. I think that's what the thing is. But now he's going to come out, he's going to have some like life-threatening degrees and someone's going to disease and someone's going to clip that. I'm going to look like an a-hole. So I don't like Jack Edwards. I think he's he's good for the game. Back to Wilson. This should have been 25. It was meditated and it was egregious. I sound like Al Sharpton. It was egregious. It was meditated. It's unfortunate and I will not stand for it. But it was outrageous. And here's the thing. Talk about revenge. If I'm the Leafs, I'm calling up Kyle Clifford. I know Ryan Reeves is there. I'm calling up some schmuck from the AHL, and I'm saying, the next time we play Tom Wilson, break his ankle. And then we'll send you down. We'll pay your fine. You'll never play again. Hurt him. Literally hurt him. And I'm serious. I would. This is outrageous. You could have really, really... What happened to Noah Gregor here? Do we know the extent of his injuries?
No, I don't think it's anything too bad as far as I know, because I haven't seen anything about it, but luckily.
You could have rearranged his face. His complete dental work could be gone. You watch where the stick hits, it's right across his mouth. I have no respect for Tom Wilson. This is disgusting. It really is. It's hard to watch. Like, what on earth are you doing? There's no reason for you to swing your stick like that. There was one intention, and that was to hit this guy in the face, a defenseless guy. And then you have the gall, like you said, to hug him and go, oh, I'm so sorry. If I was on the Leafs and I saw that, I would try to hurt him. I really would. It's disgusting. It's just, honestly, I don't like it. It bothers me to watch it. I'm sitting here watching on a loop. And people are, it's a hockey play. Not a hockey play. Should have been 25, if not more. This reminds me, instead of a Jacob Trouba, it reminds me more of Marty McSorley chasing down Donovan Brashear. That's the equivalent to me than a Jacob Trouba. This guy knows what he's doing. He hits Gregor from behind. He settles himself, and then he whacks him with a stick like he's whipping a horse. And it's a piece of lumber in the guy's face. Oh, man, this is a kid-friendly show, but that stuff drives me bonkers. Yeah, 25 at least, Tim. Six, George.
So what? Before we wrap up, I meant to ask you, do you want to talk at all about the arguments happening in Edmonton and the Oilers, or do you want to save that for Wednesday?
Just Kane being Kane, baby. Vander Kane. Remember what we called him back in the day? The old team cancer. Did it with Atlanta. Did it with Buffalo. Doing it with Edmonton. Just San causing Jose. Problems. Tampa Bay. Who else?
San Jose.
Sure. San Jose did it too. That's right. So everywhere he goes, every stop he hits, he wears out his welcome, and then it just, the guys don't like it. And it's, now is the time in Edmonton. And him and Draisaitl were going at it on the bench. And if I'm Evander Kane and I value playing hockey, I'm not arguing with the top player on the team or one of. Shut your mouth. Do your job. You know, and then he was healthy scratch the next game. So that guy just can't get out of his own way. Good hockey player, massive ego. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Thanks for the support. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.